Topic 163, Spiritual Evolution of Man. 1. At first, it is the force of the plain substance which directs him, causing him to identify himself with the grosser substance and to consider himself a man, a member of the fourth kingdom, and to be convinced, therefore, that he is the not-self. Later, as force from the ego pours in, his psychical evolution proceeds, I use the word psychical here in its higher connotation, and he begins to consider himself as the ego, the thinker, the one who uses the form. Finally, energy from the monad begins to be responded to, and he knows himself to be neither the man nor the angel, but a divine essence or spirit. A man is then seen as he truly is, a network of fire with flaming focal points, transmitting and circulating fiery energy. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 1157 through 1158. 2. The little evolved cannot comprehend completely the much evolved, and in a lesser degree the advanced ego comprehends not an initiate. The greater can comprehend the lesser, but the reverse is not the case. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 113. 3. There comes a stage when a man is truly and indeed founded on the rock, and though he may experience the alternation of light and shade, though the waves of the purifying waters may roll over him and threaten to sweep him off his feet, and though he may feel himself deaf and dumb and blind, nothing can ultimately defeat the purpose of the soul. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 148. 4. The disciple can never be static. He can never rest. He is constantly adjusting himself to new conditions, constantly learning to function therein, and then subsequently finding them pass away to give place in their turn to new. This goes on until the consciousness is stabilized in the self, in the one. Then the initiate knows himself to be the on-looking unity, watching the phenomenon of life in the form. This dualistic stage is that of the aspirant and of the disciple up to the time of his training for the third initiation. He begins with a knowledge that he is a spiritual entity confined in a form. His consciousness for a long period of time remains predominantly that of the form. Gradually this changes, so gradually that the aspirant learns the lesson of endurance, even to the point of enduring the not-self, until there comes a life of balance wherein neither preponderates. This produces in man a state of apparent negativity and inertia, which may last for one life or two, and he seems to accomplish little in either direction. This is, for workers, a valuable hint in their dealings with people. Then the point of balance changes, and the soul appears to dominate from the standpoint of influence, and the entire consciousness aspect begins to shift into the higher of the two aspects. Duality, however, still persists, for the man is sometimes identified with his soul and sometimes with his form nature. This is the stage wherein so many earnest disciples are at this time to be found. Little by little, however, he becomes absorbed in the soul and thus comes en rapport with all aspects of the soul in all forms, until the day dawns when he realizes that there is nothing but soul, and then the higher state of unity supervenes. From A Treatise on White Magic, pages 374 through 375. 5. Let us simplify matters, if we can, by three clear statements. In them we will sum up the work the disciple accomplishes as he struggles with and masters the energies of the mental world. 1. Work on the mental plane produces realization of duality. The disciple seeks to blend and merge the soul with its vehicle, and to do this consciously. He seeks to fuse them into a unity. he aims at the realization that here and now they are one. The unification of the self and of the not-self is his objective. The first step in this direction is taken when he begins to cease identifying himself with the form and recognizes during this transitional period that he is a duality. 2. The mind rightly used becomes therefore a recorder of two types of energy, or of two aspects of the manifestation of the one life. It records and interprets the world of phenomena. It records and interprets the world of souls. It is sensitive to the three worlds of human evolution. It becomes equally sensitive to the kingdom of the soul. It is the great mediating principle in this interim of dual recognition. 3. Later, the soul and its instrument become so unified and at one that duality disappears and the soul knows itself to be all that is, all that has been, and all that will be. From A Treatise on White Magic, pages 385 through 386. 6. Be of good cheer, for there is no true defeat of the human spirit. There is no final extinction of the divine in man, for divinity ever rises triumphant from the darkest pit of hell. There is no power on earth which can prevent the advance of man towards his destined goal, and no combination of powers can hold him back. Today that combination is active, a combination of ancient evil and modern aggressive selfishness, released through a group of unscrupulous and ambitious men in every country. They will not finally succeed. They may but delay and hinder the emergence of freedom. From The Destiny of Nations, page 106. 7. Man has come to a point where success, popularity, and diverse gifts are his, and yet from their use he derives no content. Always the urge within persists, until the pain is so severe that the desire to reach out and up, to ascertain something and someone beyond, overcomes all obstacles. The man begins to turn within and to seek the source from whence he came. Then he begins to meditate, to ponder, to intensify vibration, until in process of time he garners the fruit of meditation. From Letters on Occult Meditation, page 10. 8. In all work that is truly occult, expected effects are very slowly achieved. Should a man seem in any one incarnation to make spectacular progress, it is due to the fact that he is but demonstrating what has already been earlier acquired in previous incarnations, and is preparing for a fresh period of slow, careful, and painstaking endeavor. He recapitulates in the present life the processes surmounted in the past, and thus lays the foundation for renewed effort. What the personality spends many thousands of lives in establishing is not going to be lightly altered when the ego, working in the lower consciousness, seeks to effect a change. From Letters on Occult Meditation, pages 81 through 82. 9. The wonder and the immensity of the drama unfolding in the universe is a proof of its reality, and the grasp of man, small though it may appear to be, is a guarantee of his divinity. Stage by stage we slowly make our approach to the goal of conscious and intelligent awareness. Step by step we are mastering matter and making more adequate the mechanism of awareness and of contact. Little by little we, and by that I mean the human family as a whole, are approaching the place of recognition and are preparing to climb the mountain of vision. If aspirants but realized the wonders of that revelation, and if they grasped the magnificence of the reward given to their efforts, we should have less failure, more courage, a greater and steadier achievement, and consequently a more rapidly illumined world. The vision cannot be appropriated. It is ever on ahead, But if the entire life is given to vision, and if the serving of one's fellow man is overlooked, the vision profits not. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, pages 156 through 157. 10. The work starts at individualization and continues through the two final stages of initiation and identification. These three stages mark the progress of the soul consciousness from that of identification with the form to that of the identification with the self. These three words, individualization, initiation, and identification, cover the whole process of man's career, from the time he emerges into the human kingdom till he passes out of it at the third initiation and functions freely in the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of God. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 27. This is a continuation of Topic 163, Spiritual Evolution of Man. 11. It is essential, however, that the average reader avoid the concept that the attainment of the highest initiation upon this planet marks the end of the consummation of a great and final stage. It only marks the beginning of significance. This is a statement of esoteric value. Just as the attainment of physical control sets the neophyte free from the learning of higher lessons in preparation for the major initiations, so the surmounting of the conditions presented by the seven planes of our planetary life sets the initiate, such as the Buddha or the Christ, free for still higher and more important conditioning circumstances. Their real work as members of the White Brotherhood is on the point of beginning, and the true purpose of the existence of the Great White Lodge begins faintly to dawn upon their entranced and amazed understanding. It is of real value to us, therefore, to endeavor to grasp the continuity of revelation and the vast future or vista of unfolding wonder, which stage by stage, grade by grade, and plane by plane, unfolds before the initiate consciousness. We enter here into a consideration of realms of advancement, of which even advanced humanity has no faintest idea. We are touching upon goals and objectives that confront the advanced members of the hierarchy. We are dealing with ideas and concepts for which we have no adequate terminology, and which are of such a nature that the human mechanism of thought proves incapable of registering them. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 203. 12. If you will note your own present attitudes and actions, you will discover that primarily, I might add almost necessarily, they center around yourselves, your own recognitions, your own grasp of truth, and your own progress upon the path. But as you achieve initiate status, self-interest declines until it disappears, and as an ancient word has it, only God is left. Only that remains in consciousness which is that, which is beauty, goodness, and truth, which is not form but quality, which is that which lies behind the form, and that which indicates destiny, soul, place, and status. Ponder on these words, for they convey to you where, as evolution goes on, you will later lay the emphasis. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 293. 13. To be static, to have attained all that can be attained, and to be at a complete standstill, would be utter death, and, my brothers, there is no death. There is only progress from glory to glory, a moving forward from point to point on the divine way, and from revelation to revelation towards those points and revelations which are perhaps part of the God of God Himself. What the goals are upon the higher way is as yet utterly unknown to you, what divine qualities and objectives may be revealed to the Master and the Christ as they tread the way which leads them off the cosmic physical plane altogether, you cannot know or sense, and if you could, you would not comprehend the meaning. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things which God will reveal to those who tread the way to the innermost center, to those who love. This ancient writing can be paraphrased as follows. It is impossible to realize the wonder of the future which the planetary Logos will unfold before those who have unfolded the second divine aspect, love, and who are therefore full members of the hierarchy, the center where the energy of love is anchored. It is interesting to realize that the unfoldment of the love nature is that which opens the door that leads to the way of the higher evolution, and that nothing else will open it. This way leads the Master off the cosmic physical plane onto the cosmic astral plane, or to a level of cosmic awareness whereon is generated that cosmic impulse which we call love. It will be obvious to you that as this treatise is not written to instruct members of the hierarchy, but only for aspirants and disciples and initiates below the grade of the third initiation, much that I will say will be somewhat blind or veiled in symbol. Much that I could say, if words existed of an adequate nature, will not be said. Those that have eyes to see and ears to hear will read between the lines and correctly interpret my symbols, hints, and references. To many, what I will say will be as meaningless as a treatise on cosmic fire is to the average reader, and as the entire theme of initiation is to the ignorant and the undeveloped man. Much, however, should be of practical service to the struggling disciple, and I want in these concluding pages to fire his zeal, deepen his understanding, stimulate his capacity to love, and enlighten his mind. Such is what I seek to do. On his part, let him approach this subject with deep humility, with a meditative and reflective attitude, and with a refusal to materialize the presented concepts, as is so easy a thing to do. Let him refuse to step down the teaching to the level of his physical consciousness. In these words I have conveyed a basic hint. Love and light are the great revealers, and if the student truly seeks to understand and profit by what I am endeavoring to teach, let him love all men deeply, and let him see to it that his light shines forth in the dark place. For in that light shall he see light. It is the lesser light within that reveals the greater light. When the light of the soul combines with the light of the lower man, then that fused and blended light will enable the aspirant to see the door that opens upon the way of the higher evolution. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, Pages 328 through 329. 14. When man becomes the aspirant and takes the first steps upon the path towards spiritual maturity, he begins to play a crucial role, which he maintains until he attains spiritual liberation and himself becomes a member of the hierarchy of the fifth or spiritual kingdom through perfected service in the fourth or the human kingdom. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, page 194. 15. But in the meantime, great and momentous happenings are taking place within the hierarchy and relation to its membership. Disciples upon the periphery of any ashram are apt to be observant of the training and attitudes of those who are senior to them in an ashram. They frequently overlook the fact that they too, from the Christ down to the humblest initiate, are in process of steady and increasing hierarchical discipline, training, and instruction. Because the senior disciples and initiates have reached a goal which has seemed for long quite unattainable to the average aspirant, it is assumed that they have attained. The fact that they have only passed a milestone upon the endless way of bliss is entirely forgotten. But owing to the impulsion of life itself, progress ever continues. Knowledge must ever be transmitted into wisdom. Love must ever be accompanied by divine will. Planning must ever give way to divine purpose. Light must ever be succeeded by life. From the hierarchy, the initiate must pass to Shambhala, and from Shambhala, he will follow one or other of the seven paths. The path of evolution gives place to the way of the higher evolution. Planetary recognitions eventually expand into solar contacts. The Christ consciousness eventually unfolds into something so all-inclusive that we have as yet no word for it, or any need for words. Recognition of the Father and of monadic being causes all lesser recognitions to fade out, and soul consciousness and progressive life in form are no longer goals, but are left far behind. In spite of all this, it is necessary to remember that the gain of all experience forever persists. Nothing is ever lost. That which life in form has conferred is still in the possession of the immortal spiritual entity. That which the soul consciousness has enfolded and included is still the rich endowment of being, centered now in the monad. Hierarchical experience is merged into the purposes of the council chamber at Shambhala, but ability to work in the hierarchy ever lasts, because the hierarchical constitution and institution condition all manifestation. For what reason this is so, no one knows, but so is the divine will. From the Externalization of the Hierarchy, pages 559 through 560.